His heart was ripped open at Utah Valley University, where Charlie Kirk, the 31-year-old firebrand of Turning Point USA, was gunned down in a cold-blooded sniper attack at 12:20 p.m. Mountain Time. A single high-powered rifle shot tore through Kirk's neck from roughly 150 yards from what appears to be a shooter on the Lossie Center building.
So there's somebody on the roof right there? Just saying? He just ran from, over, where's my finger? Well, from over there, ran in. Now he's right there.
A husband and father of two, a man who deeply loved a country that had rewarded him the providence his work deserved, was pronounced dead. There are reports that he died almost immediately after being shot. As the nation grieved, the Democrats feasted on the tragedy like a pack of hyenas.
Political violence, unfortunately, has been ratcheting up in this country, and I think there are people who are fomenting it in this country. I think the president's rhetoric often foments it.
The chair would ask that all members present in the chamber and those in the gallery please rise for a moment of prayer for Charlie Kirk and his family. Wait a minute. The House will be in order. Shh.
While many Americans immediately confronted the elephant in the room and pointed a finger at cowardly color revolution, radicalization, mind control operations like MSNBC, who before we even knew if Charlie had survived, painted Charlie as an existential threat, gaslighting the country into believing Kirk's rhetoric was responsible for his own death, when in fact it was their own rhetoric that got us here. A clear display of broadcasted domestic terrorism, which is defined as violent criminal acts committed by individuals and or groups to further ideological goals stemming from domestic influences, such as those of a political, religious, social, racial, or environmental nature.
He's been one of the most divisive, especially divisive younger figures in this, who is constantly sort of pushing this sort of hate speech or sort of aimed at certain groups. And I always go back to hateful thoughts lead to hateful words, which then lead to hateful actions.
And I know it's hard to predict the future, Mark, but you can imagine the administration using this as a justification for something.
Obviously, there's a lot of rhetoric that is problematic. A lot of it is coming from one particular side and from one particular building. But what can be done? I fear when this is an escalation already in less than 24 hours of this shooting.
Speaking of this tragedy, is this a moment for your party to reflect on political violence? Is it a moment for us to think about the responsibility of our political leaders and their voices and what it does to the masses as they get lost in misinformation, disinformation that turns in and spills into political violence?
I say both parties.
Only Republicans, only people inclined to consume conservative media are now, I think, upward of 50% say that if necessary, violence is okay. You've only got the conduct on one of the two sides.
The solution, Mr. President, reinstate the Smith-Munn Act and enforce it. Obama's army of propagandists will fall. The shooter still remains at large after the initial suspect, who bizarrely declared "shoot me," was released, although authorities claim to have held another suspect. Were they just decoys to allow the real shooter to flee? And who is this person being arrested wearing black pants while a rifle is clearly confiscated? Steven Crowder received an email from an ATF officer detailing a recovered older imported Mauser 30-06 bolt-action rifle wrapped in a towel in a nearby wooded area along the suspect's escape route, containing a spent cartridge and three unspent rounds engraved with transgender and anti-fascist messages. Kirk had reportedly been talking about transgender issues right before he was shot.
This morning I can tell you that we have recovered what we believe is the weapon that was used in yesterday's shooting. It is a high-powered bolt-action rifle. That rifle was recovered in a wooded area where the shooter had fled.
Was this a solo fanatic radicalized by years of media-fueled hatred? Or did Kirk's words rattle the agents of foreign and or domestic terror?
Netanyahu now has an emergency government and a mandate to leave.
welcome to this afternoon's broadcast of the War Room. I'm your guest host, Maria Z of ZMedia.com, and it's an honor to be with you all here today, despite the extremely tragic events of this week. And I noticed that there wasn't too much attention on September 11 yesterday. Obviously, the country and the whole world is still recovering from the tragedy of Charlie Kirk's assassination. So I just want to take a moment to honour the fallen and remember the people and the tragedy of September 11 and remind people that there are still a lot of unanswered questions about that particular attack on America, as I believe there are on this newest attack on America. And I do see it as an attack on America. Charlie Kirk was an absolute legend. And while I didn't agree with absolutely everything that he said, and I think it's very naive to think that we would agree with absolutely everyone on every single point, he was undoubtedly a hero of America. He changed the course of politics for young people in a way that I don't think anyone else in this country has done. He went into the lion's den of institutions that were filled with Marxist ideology and aimed through discourse, through conversation, to change people's minds. This is a boldly courageous thing to be doing in an era where there is extreme hostility towards people who think differently to us, when we used to have a time where we could discuss politics. And, you know, that saying of, oh, just don't ever talk to people about religion or politics, I believe is something that was actually embedded into our society, because this is the way that people used to unite and organize and change the way that their societies were run, by discussing these two topics. And then there's been, over the years, this conditioning of the public that we shouldn't be doing these things. We shouldn't be talking to people who disagree with us and having robust disagreements, robust discussions, and coming to some sort of common ground. And this is something that Charlie did phenomenally. That cannot be denied. To go into these institutions, to change people's minds, to change their ideology, and it's undoubtedly the result of his work that some people have realized just how messed up the systems in this country are, the way, the trajectory of the world. Charlie embodied Christian values wherever he went. And I saw a really, really touching post from a young lady who said that she was 7.5 months pregnant. And it was because of Charlie Kirk's videos that she decided not to kill her baby in the womb. She said that she had planned to go and see him next year with her newborn baby to thank him for the impact that he'd had on her life. And that, sadly, now that she was not able to do that, but nonetheless, it was Charlie's work that inspired her to now, after she gives birth to her baby, which she had planned on killing but didn't because of Charlie Kirk, that she was going to go and start visiting abortion clinics and trying to encourage and convince other women to not murder their children in the womb. So to lose someone like this, who was such an advocate for life and spoke so boldly about his faith and these Christian values, is an immense tragedy for this country and for the whole world. The whole world was affected by the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And for more reasons than one, obviously, the impact that he's had on them, on young people around the world, on conservatives all around, in every single country worldwide. I had calls from, you know, people, I saw people in Europe talking about this. I had calls from Australia, people genuinely touched by Charlie's legacy. And of course, people were also deeply impacted. And I will tell you, I'm also one of those people, deeply, deeply impacted. And like many who work in the media, I'm normally quite good at separating emotions from events. And I'll tell you, this was very difficult for me. Again, someone who didn't agree with absolutely every single thing that he said, but undoubtedly this was a good human being. And to see the gruesomeness of that video, I believe, is something that impacted everyone
we're not supposed to see these things. We're not supposed to see such extreme violence in our faces, billions of devices worldwide, but it happened. And unfortunately, we've seen some calls for censorship as a result of this tragedy, and I will be addressing that later on in the broadcast, because I think that, as with all things, governments always look for opportunities, sadly, including tragedies, to capitalize on a different agenda that they want to push. And I've certainly seen some steps towards that in the wake of this horrible tragedy, and we will be discussing that later. I'm also extremely disturbed, and I mean that in the strongest possible sense, of or by a lot of right-wing accounts that I'm seeing online that are just accepting the official narrative. And I will say just briefly that there has been an update that police are apparently swarming the family home of the accused assassin Tyler Robinson, per Shadow of Ezra, ordering media to clear out as helicopters circle overhead. The area has been evacuated after officials received concerning information. Authorities have not revealed what kind of information triggered the sudden operation, and I'm sure that as we get more details about that, hopefully we'll have an update for you throughout this broadcast. But back to my previous point, with so many unanswered questions still remaining regarding this assassination, I am very, very disturbed by the amount of people just accepting the official narrative or accepting every single thing that the authorities say in every presser without asking any questions. And of course, this is common when it comes to tragedies, because people's emotions are in the way of their critical thinking. And I understand that it's a very human response. It's a natural response. So I certainly don't condemn people for being emotional. But I do caution everyone that if there's anything that we've learned, especially over these past 5 years, and if you've been in the world of conspiracies, and that's not a dirty word, as much as the intel agencies would love us to believe it is, there are many conspiracies throughout history that have still remained unanswered. The JFK assassination, I don't think we have all the official answers to that yet. 9/11 being another one of those, which I believe we were promised transparency on, haven't seen that yet. Epstein, a cover-up that is still ensuing. A very surprising cover-up that's ensuing, actually, after we were, you know, told by some of these figures. Kash Patel, who was on a warpath initially, telling us that we have to take down Epstein, and then the moment that he's in, basically there's nothing to see here. If there was, I would tell you guys about it, but we all are very much aware of the fact that we certainly don't have all of the information around Epstein. It's just absurd to claim that there's nothing to see here. The Butler assassination attempt, another thing that we wanted answers for. Why were they hosing down the roof as soon as that assassination attempt occurred? And then we were told as well by people in this current administration and Kash Patel, there's no further information on Butler. We're satisfied with what we have. Well, the public isn't actually satisfied with what we have. Why were they hosing the roof down? Why? There are a myriad of questions still remaining over Butler that haven't been answered. And so when there is this lack of complete transparency, even though we're told we have it, it is, you know, incumbent upon us to continue asking questions. And so when we still have COVID and the lack of accountability around that, we as the people expected from this administration that there would be some sort of accountability for the criminals involved with COVID. But unfortunately, we just saw Bill Gates dining at the White House saying he's working on gene editing with the president. We see that RFK Jr. recently announced a universal vaccine, which is, after I did some investigation and digging into this, funded by Bill Gates and one of the lead scientists on that particular vaccine. It's the BPL platform. Please go and watch our investigation into that. It's up on Rumble. One of the lead scientists previously co-authored a paper with Anthony Fauci about how we need to get a universal vaccine going. And that is the one that RFK Jr. just announced. So there are many, many things that we as the people are entitled to know about and should be asking questions about. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with asking those questions when your perceived team is in power. The way that politics has worked and governments have worked for many generations now is that they have been dishonest, at least about a few things. So there should be an inquisitive nature in the public, and there should be no fear to ask questions and examine narratives further. And I believe it's dangerous to just readily accept any information that comes to us as though what we're being told is gospel, no matter who is in power. And the role of journalists, of course, is to ask those questions and hold power to account. And I recall many, many different instances on the campaign trail where people were raising some concerns, and the narrative then was, well, let's just get them in and then we'll hold them to account once they're in. And then I saw journalists trying to hold the admin to account after they were in, and they were called panickens and traitors and God knows what other names were thrown at them. And I just think that that's insanity. It's sheer insanity. It's behavior from the right, just like the left did to themselves whenever anyone on their side questioned the previous administration. We cannot allow ourselves to stoop to tribalism, no matter which side of the aisle we are when it comes to politics. So I want to say all of that because I understand that people are in an emotional state and that does impact critical thinking, but we have to be on alert at all times, no matter what is going on, and be allowed, without being demonized, to ask questions. So I'm going to ask some questions today, and I want to present some of the things that don't make sense to me and a lot of people on the internet. I'm going to show you what some people on the internet are asking. I genuinely cannot fathom the people, the major accounts on social media right now that aren't doing this. It's the people entrusted, independent journalists, especially during the time of COVID when we all sort of had our rise, they entrusted us with the task of digging further. And so we have actually a responsibility to the people who helped us grow our platforms and helped share the information that we were bringing out to remain honest and have integrity when it comes to these matters. And so one particular clip, and let me just say from the outset, I'll say one more thing before I get into some of these clips and images. There may be things that are answered. We're still in very early days of, obviously, of this tragedy. And therefore, there may be questions that I'm going to ask that are answered even by the time that I'm finished with this broadcast, and we'll give the administration the benefit of the doubt on some of those things, obviously. But the point of asking questions is to have them answered by an administration that calls themselves transparent. And I also just want to, before I get started, offer my condolences to all of the people in Charlie Kirk's family and friends and his circle of orbit. And I sincerely hope that the journalists who are out there right now digging a little bit deeper, that it provides you with some comfort that there are people doing that. And hopefully we have more answers and clarity for the people that cared about this man and knew him in the coming days and weeks, and that this inspires further transparency from the from those involved in this investigation. I can't imagine what it's like for them at this point. I highly doubt they're tuning into every single bit of news. But I really do believe it's incumbent upon us, the people, to get to the bottom of a lot of this. So without further ado, I was quite taken aback by this clip from President Trump this morning. He was asked by a reporter how he feels today, and his response was very interesting. Take a look at this clip one.
My condolences on the loss of the French family. And to ask their coaches, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks. They've just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty. It'll be an absolutely magnificent structure. And as you see, all the trucks, we just started. So it'll get done very nicely, and it'll be One of the best anywhere in the world, actually.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so the reporter there is offering his condolences and asking him, how are you holding up? And President Trump says, I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all those trucks. They've just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House. Maybe it's just me. I found this to be highly insensitive and highly unusual to be talking about the construction of a new ballroom in the same breath as talking about the loss of your friend. And my understanding is that Charlie Kirk was indeed a friend of President Trump. But I found that to be very odd. This is something that the public cares about a lot. Charlie Kirk is someone that the public cares about a lot. And considering the lengths that the administration went to honor him, flying him out on the jet, and Nancy Mace's, I believe it was Nancy Mace that wanted his coffin displayed, J.D. Vance carrying his coffin. I understand that we can't talk about this forever, but it's still very, very fresh in Americans' minds, and they are still grieving. And so I found it to be quite odd to be moving on seemingly so quickly, talking about a new ballroom. Then we have the gun. So picture two is an image of the gun that was found, the rifle that the authorities say that they found in the woods, if the crew can pull that up. So they say, or we heard, that it was wrapped in a towel, and I understand that the ATF has subpoenaed Stephen Crowder's company at the moment for that leak. But I'm interested, and this may seem trivial to you all, but I'm interested in, where did this box come from? We were told that it was wrapped in a towel. The shooter reportedly took the rifle with him after he shot Charlie, because it wasn't found at the scene, it was found in the woods. So he went to the effort of taking the weapon with him, jumping off the roof with it, only to hide it in a towel in the woods, which was then accompanied by a box later on. Where did the box come from? Did the authorities bring a box? Maybe. Maybe they brought it for the image to be clearer. That's definitely a possibility. I don't know that bringing a box along would be a top priority. Maybe they had a spare one that just happens to fit the gun perfectly lying around. I don't know. But in the in video number three, we see the shooter jumping off the roof. Let's roll that clip, crew. So we see the shooter jumping off the roof here. This is a Fox News report. Now, it's very grainy footage. I don't know why it's so grainy. Perhaps, I guess, this person was recording their television, it seems. But I don't see a gun there. The shooter doesn't seem to be carrying a gun. I've heard many people say it is very difficult to sort of pull apart this particular rifle to fit it in his bag, and to then go back to the woods and assemble it again afterwards. If that's what he did, it seems to be a very odd thing to do if you're trying to get away with the weapon. So it doesn't seem to be that he was carrying the weapon at that point. That's just another anomaly that I found. Also, if we review the footage that TMZ released, he had a limp as he was approaching, before the shooting. It seemed that he was walking with a limp. So presumably people said that he had the rifle in his pants and that's why it was causing the limp. And that also means that the rifle didn't initially fit in the backpack. So where was it in that shot? Again, potentially grainy footage. But it also struck me as very odd that a university would have such low quality cameras. Everything, every image, every video that we saw come out of there, and it was very limited with all of the security footage that they would have had. Everything that the authorities were releasing to us was very grainy, low quality, difficult to make out the face. You would assume that the university had much higher definition cameras available. The other thing was Charlie's security detail. This is a man who was very much a politically exposed individual. He had a lot of enemies, surely, particularly in recent times, we're told. And he had, I think there was a security chief the other day that came out, just yesterday rather, that said that he warned Charlie just months ago that he was that there was a very, very high likelihood of him being assassinated. So with that type of warning from a security expert, would there not have been better security of these types of events? Would there not have been people with at least one drone scoping out the area, seeing whether there were any shady characters on the rooftops, any characters on the rooftops at all? It wouldn't have been difficult to spot with the color of that roof, the contrast of someone, as you can see there, clearly the contrast of someone being on that roof. And if there were drones deployed, or at least one drone, it would have been very easy to spot that. And that's quite an inexpensive security measure to take. And in fact, I did see one clip reposted by John Cullen. I don't have it for you. I did see one clip that appears that there was a drone in the vicinity. So who owned that drone? And why don't we know who owned that drone? And why don't we have footage from it? And I find it odd that that's not a line of inquiry that we've been informed about from the authorities yet. It seems like online investigators are doing a better job of revealing information than the authorities are at this point. Now, I understand that it's an active investigation. I understand that there are multiple angles that they have to look at and multiple pieces of information. I'm certainly not disparaging those efforts. But the information that we've had thus far hasn't really been enough. And like I said, far too many questions still unanswered from what's being uncovered on the internet compared to what we're being told from the authorities. Now, the internet and social media does its thing. And of course, it produces many theories, some of those unfounded. One of those was The Ring, for example. I saw a lot of footage going around claiming that it was proof that the video was AI generated of the moment that Charlie Kirk was shot because of his ring. And it was later found that that was a hinged ring and it could have slipped off. And I don't know exactly what happened there. But my point is that when you leave people to their own devices and you let them just work this stuff out, eventually it all comes out in the wash and people realize, okay, that's not a particular thing that we should be pursuing. Let's focus our energy elsewhere. And that's the beauty of free speech, free inquiry, free internet, that we can all as a community come together and look into these things and discuss them. And there shouldn't be any issue with doing that whatsoever. And we've seen a lot of people doing that over the past couple of days. I do have a lot more that I want to talk to you about. We're coming up against a break. We have the plane that took off that no one's answered for yet. We have the gentleman who a lot of people are saying provided a distraction for authorities so that the shooter could get away. No real answers on that person. That person seemed to have been released. So many, many things that still don't add up, and we'll continue talking about those on the other side of the break. And we do hopefully have Mike Adams joining us soon as well to discuss. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your guest host, Maria Z of ZMedia.com, and we have a beautiful example of the internet coming together to answer questions. I was speaking about the box that the rifle was in those photos. Someone in the comments said that's a standard evidence box per Carl Serafin. So perhaps that is the reason why the rifle was in a box in the photos and not in a towel in the photos. And this is what I mean about being able to freely ask questions and the internet coming together to answer them. I do have some other anomalous things I'd like to show everyone. So in clip four, we have the gentleman who, for some reason, there was a man on Fox News who was talking about this gentleman. He said, I know him. That's George Zinn. He's not the man that did this. And we see this person who I don't know for certain that that's that individual, that that's his name. But we see this video of him saying, shoot me, clip four. Right, so I saw that and I thought that was very, very odd. Why would that person be doing that? Why would he be behaving that way? Perhaps he's a Charlie Kirk fan there to hear him speak, and he was overtaken by emotion from that event. But it is very, very strange, and a lot of people on the internet have said that seemed like a diversion so that the police wouldn't be focused on the shooter escaping. Now, they originally took that man into custody and then they released him well, what information did that man give them? And is he, no one's been told whether he in fact did provide a diversion. No one's confirmed that. If he did provide a diversion, why was he released? I think we definitely still need more information on that. And interestingly, and this is a bit of information that I can't personally verify, but I did see videos circulating of a man named George Zinn straight after 9/11, recounting how, you know, he knew that it was Al-Qaeda that did 9/11. And we all know that there are a lot of questions around 9/11. And it just so happens to be, according to social media reports, that this is the same individual who appears to be potentially providing a diversion while the shooter escapes. So I think that that's an interesting bit of detail that warrants further investigation. We also have a very interesting clip in clip 5 of what appears to be someone clearing out the area where Charlie Kirk was while this is an active crime scene. This person is in plain clothing, it appears, taking down, I don't know if that was a camera, I don't know if we can back up on that crew, whether that was a camera up there, but I'm not really sure how during an active crime scene someone can be clearing the area. Has that person been questioned? Do the authorities have an answer for us as to why it appears the crime scene was being tampered with right after the crime had taken place? I don't know. We don't have answers on this, but I think that we deserve them. In clip 6, Fox News released a very interesting report prior to the alleged killer having confessed or being brought in by his father. Take a listen to this on clip 6.
And we all lost, no matter what side of the political aisle you're on today, we lost something important in America today. But the case goes on. The investigation goes on. There's a lot of piecing of evidence together. We don't have a shooter tonight. We have a couple leads, a couple people that were released that probably aren't the shooter. There's a couple hot leads. There's a little bit of foreign intelligence. And I think over the next couple of days, we will learn a lot more. And hopefully we will bring to justice the evil person who did what they did to Charlie today.
Yeah, I hope so. I am hearing that they do have a couple of people of interest. That's the latest I heard from law enforcement.
What exactly is it that he meant by a little bit of foreign intelligence? What exactly did he mean there? Did Solomon mean that there was foreign intelligence involved in this assassination, or that foreign intelligence was assisting with this assassination? If foreign intelligence, as in assisting in uncovering details about it, if he did mean that foreign intelligence was involved in the assassination, then we want to know who the heck that is and why that hasn't been disclosed as of yet. We're just being told that this is just some kid from Utah who has a lot of very similar poses in his bedroom, just wearing different shirts, always seemingly wearing the same shoes as the shoes that he was wearing on the day, grew up in what seems to be a stable home, seems to be, from the posts that have been circulating on social media, though those Facebook accounts have been promptly scrubbed. And that could be because, from what I saw, a lot of people were leaving some pretty nasty comments on the mother's page, understandably. But, you know, the constant, trend of these posts being scrubbed straight away after something like this is really problematic because the internet sleuths tend to come up with more answers than the authorities give us. But just going back to that Fox News report, okay, if it wasn't foreign intelligence involved in this, then was foreign intelligence assisting? When he said a little bit of foreign intelligence, was foreign intelligence assisting with this investigation? Why? Why is a foreign intelligence organization assisting in a domestic investigation? Since when do foreign countries get involved in domestic affairs? And why are they getting involved in domestic affairs? Is it because they have better technology? How often does this happen? How often are we calling upon foreign intelligence agencies to get involved in domestic affairs? Who was it? Which foreign agency apparently had better tools than the current government to investigate this assassination? So I found that to be something that I think is, again, something that needs answers. And we have in picture 9, and this is a screenshot from an InfoWars broadcast yesterday, picture 9 was an Amazon book. An Amazon book called The Shooting of Charlie Kirk, a comprehensive account of the Utah Valley University attack, the aftermath and America's response. And it even talks there about, I saw someone post a couple of screenshots from there, from inside the Kindle version, I think it was, and they didn't necessarily completely line up with the events of that day, but it says on September 10th, the campus of Utah Valley University was forever changed during a scheduled event featuring Charlie Kirk, the prominent conservative activist and founder of Turning Point USA. A shocking act of violence unfolded that shook students, faculty, and the nation. This book provides an in-depth, humanized account of the shooting, the immediate aftermath, and the ripple effects that reached far beyond Orem in Utah. And as you can see there on that image, the publication date was September 9th of 2025. Now, I've seen people saying on social media that to get something published on Amazon, it takes a minimum of 48 to 72 hours. So how long before this assassination exactly was this book published? And if you see in picture 10, there is another image of that. Amazon.com publication date, September 9th. If you've got picture 10, crew, September 9th of 2025. How was that book published on September 9th? And then we have picture 11, which is when I did a Google search for the book. I actually, this was the second search I did for the author, Anastasia J. Casey. It was still showing up on Google search. But then when we click on the link, as you can see in picture 12, no matter how many times you click that link, sorry, we couldn't find that page, and various dogs that come up in the images when you try to click the link. How was this published? Has anyone been able to answer this? Are the FBI looking into this? Do we have any answers from authorities on this? We also have in picture 13, reportedly a song that was uploaded to SoundCloud a month ago, saying Charlie Kirk dead at 31. And it says God's finest scalpel on it. 1 month ago, an instrumental that was uploaded to SoundCloud. Has anyone looked into who uploaded that? Why would that person say that? We also saw a social media post from an unidentified person saying Charlie Kirk's coming to my university tomorrow and essentially making threats. Have we had any answers on that? Have we had any answers onto this person that he allegedly, the alleged killer, was coordinating with on Discord? Do we have any information as to what that was about? I don't know if the crew readily has the clip available of the press conference that was done. I haven't sent it to them. Let me know in my ear, crew, if you have it, where they were talking about him actually, being his family saying that Tyler was saying that Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate. And then in that particular press conference, they were saying, hang on, I'm just having a look at what the crew's pulled up here. Amazon, has, in a statement, said that they've taken down the title in question. We have content guidelines governing which books can be listed for sale, and we remove books that do not adhere to these guidelines. The title in question is no longer for sale due to a technical issue. The date of publication that had been displayed for this title, while it was briefly listed, was incorrect. We apologize for any confusion this may have caused. The title was published late in the afternoon on September 10th, an Amazon spokesperson told TOI. Well, if someone can pull that up, find out on the Wayback Machine when it was actually published, if they're telling the truth, let me know in the comments. I've posted this live feed. Let me know in the comments and we'll discuss it, because I'm not really sure how this technical issue came to be. What's the explanation for SoundCloud for that song being published a month ago? Now, I've forgotten what I was saying before. Oh, right, the Discord chat. So the authorities were talking about the Discord discussion that Tyler was having with another person, reportedly. Again, crew, if you have that clip, let me know. Otherwise, maybe we can look at it later in the show, because that is another thing that hasn't been mentioned. Are there further investigations going on about that? But what we have seen is this call for censorship. Now, I want to say something here, and perhaps we'll talk about this a little bit more as well after we finish with Mike, who's coming up, Mike Adams. But I want to say the behavior that we've seen from the left over the past few days, from some people on the left, and I'll use the left purely because I'm talking about people who have this extreme hatred of conservatives. When I say the left, because I don't necessarily buy too much into the left-right paradigm when it comes to politics, but it certainly does exist in society in terms of ideology, okay? So people on the extreme left celebrating, saying extremely disgusting things about a man who now has two children who will grow up without their father, a wife that has been left without the father of her children, no matter what this person's ideology is, to be celebrating? I mean, I can't fathom this because as a Christian, even if some of the most evil people on earth died, I would be praying for their souls. To the point of Tedros or Bill Gates or whoever it is, as a Christian, I recognize that I'm a sinner who needs a savior, and therefore that same rule applies to everyone. And no matter who dies, even if they're an evil person, we pray for their souls. We pray that God would have mercy on them just as we need mercy. I cannot fathom, no matter how much you disagree with someone, having a celebratory response to their death. And there certainly has been a lot of the internet that's sorted that out as well. Now, you may agree or disagree with these people being fired from their jobs. I am of the opinion that there needs to be societal consequences for these people. We cannot allow that poison to continue in our society. But the ways in which society used to deal with this was policing one another. The government wouldn't come and tell you what you can and can't say and which ideology you are and aren't allowed to have. It would be society. It would be people run out of towns if they behave in a way that's not congruent with a healthy moral society. And let me just say from the outset, this is a symptom of not... mental illness is a symptom of a lack of God. I'm talking about the kind of mental illness that makes you want to go and harm other people. That is a symptom of a lack of God. And so all of this talk about, you know, this ideology and blah, 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 all of this, yeah, it's all true, but it is emblematic of the fact that these people lack God. These people lack Christ, and society lacks Christ. And society decided a little while ago that they were just fine with science and institutions and atheism and all of these different explanations, somehow arriving at the conclusion that a human being came from some ape, because that's the peak of intelligence, apparently. And society has slipped into scientism rather than theology and sound doctrine. And this is why we're here today. It's not just because of left-wing institutions or left-wing rhetoric. Left-wing institutions and left-wing rhetoric are a symptom of a lack of God. And so what we've seen over the past few days is society kind of sorting itself out, policing itself. We want to see the most grotesque responses to this from people in terms of their words. We don't want to see further violence, but we want to be able to see them cheering this on so that they can be shunned from society by the rest of society. I don't know if you caught Nick Fuentes' stream last night. I watched it. I thought it was phenomenal, though I did disagree with one point, which was the censorship aspect, though I understand his logic for this, because what we need is punishment for this behavior in society. And I will talk about the censorship piece afterwards. But there needs to be a total overhaul of the values that we as a species, we as humanity, want to have in our countries. And for a country that was founded on Christian values, Christian, no other tag on needed, Christian values, this country needs to return to that, as does every single other nation in the West, which was founded on Christian values. That is the only way that you're going to heal this sickness. If this kid was really on these Discord channels, and we will get to that clip now because the team have found it. If this kid was really on these Discord channels, hearing someone say abhorrent things, let me just present this to you. You, as a person who is a moral person in society, when you hear someone saying abhorrent things or encouraging you to do abhorrent things, those words don't make you do those abhorrent things. You do them if you are someone who is lacking Christ. So this whole, oh, we need to silence the internet now because it could cause further destruction to our society, like Rep. Anna Paulina is doing and Rep. Clay Higgins has called for, and we'll talk about that later. This whole, we need to shut everyone up so that we don't have copycats. Now, hang on a minute. I see someone posting the most grotesque things online. It doesn't make me want to go and do them. If we have people in society that are inspired by grotesque things online, the problem is with society wanting to respond to those things and being egged on by them. We have to address that disease rather than just shutting everyone up so that no one can see just how widespread this problem in society is, which, by the way, Charlie Kirk was extremely opposed to censoring these people. He was committed to spotlighting this sickness in society and doing something about it and turning it around. And just like some people on the left who've gone viral because people are so disgusted with their behavior, just like some people on the left have gone viral for their disgusting behavior, we need to be more loud than them. Our message of morality and Christianity and proper values that used to result in a cohesive society need to be louder than them. That's the war path. Not kinetic war, not a civil war. A war path of sound moral values winning in society again. I'll talk about that more, but let's roll the clip that the crew found.
Investigators interviewed a family member of Robinson who stated that Robinson had become more political in recent years. The family member referenced a recent incident in which Robinson came to dinner prior to September 10th, and in the conversation with another family member, Robinson mentioned Charlie Kirk was coming to UVU. They talked about why they didn't like him and the viewpoints that he had. The family member also stated Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate.
Okay, it's not necessarily the clip I was thinking about, but that's okay. We can talk about that. He was full of hate and spreading hate. Well, this certain rhetoric that I've seen of we have to shut everyone up who's spreading hate, and this is coming from the right, by the way, is very alarming, because if we consider that this person thought that Charlie Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate and that led to those actions, what should we have done? Silenced Charlie Kirk because someone thought that was hateful? We can't allow ourselves to get into this slippery slope of wanting to shut people up because we think they're hateful. I strongly oppose this. I don't believe this is the solution. We should be letting these people expose themselves just as has happened, and then the culture around organizations being willing to decide whether they're going to let this person go from their job because their behavior is not congruent with the values of that organization. For example, there's a tweet from Anna Paulina Luna. I'll give you an example. It's number 17 that I've sent you, crew. Every college and university in this country must understand that Congress is watching closely what universities take the right action by firing professors who celebrated the murder of Charlie Kirk or circulated videos glorifying his assassination. I understand that. Derek Van Orden has been highlighting many of these cases, and I can promise you any university that refuses to do the right thing will be cut off from all federal funding from the United States government. Okay, universities need to have the moral sense to say, right, you did the wrong thing. You're no longer welcome here. Your thoughts about celebrating someone's assassination are just not going to be something that is suitable for a classroom environment where you are leading young people anymore. But when the government is stepping in to be monitoring these organizations, I find that to be problematic. I find it to be un-American, and I find it to be a very, very slippery slope to be in violation of the First Amendment. We can see an article up there, U.S. State Department warns visa holders against cheering Charlie Kirk's assassination. That I understand. Let me explain why. If you're a visitor in this country and you're celebrating someone that's loved, that's been assassinated, then the question has to be asked, well, do you love this country and do you actually belong here? You know, I can understand that. And visa holders are not necessarily afforded the same protections as people who are permanently here. There's legal arguments around that. I won't get into that today. I can sort of understand that. But what I'm talking about is the multi-pronged approach to censorship and free speech that I am seeing, or against free speech rather, that I'm seeing. For example, let me show you this tweet from Clay Higgins. Clay Higgins says in number 14, I'm going to use congressional authority and every influence with big tech platforms to mandate immediate ban for life of every post or commentator that belittled the assassination of Charlie Kirk. If they ran their mouth with their smart-ass hatred celebrating the heinous murder of that beautiful young man who dedicated his whole life to delivering respectful conservative truth into the hearts of liberal enclave universities, armed only with a Bible and a microphone and a constitution, those profiles must come down, he says. He also says that he's going to demand that big tech have zero tolerance for violent political hate content. Define that. The user to be banned from all platforms forever. He's also going after their business licenses and permitting their businesses will be blacklisted aggressively. They should be kicked from every school and their driver's licenses should be revoked. I'm basically going to cancel with extreme prejudice these evil, sick animals who celebrated Charlie Kirk's assassination. And let me just say here, I think they are evil and sick animals. I think it is a sign of an extreme depravity in these individuals that they are behaving in this manner, and there should absolutely be societal consequences for these people. But when you're talking about a Patriot Act 2.0-esque First Amendment attack where people are having their driver's licenses revoked for not liking someone potentially, at the end of the day, like it or not, it's their First Amendment right to dislike people and, as disgusting as it is, be happy that someone is dead. And I want to equivocally state that I find it absolutely deplorable. But we have to watch this creep on the First Amendment. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Mike Adams to talk more on this after this short break. In the meantime, I just want to finish what I was saying before, because I know that emotions are very high and we do absolutely want consequences for the people that have responded in the most disgusting, vile way. And I want to be extremely clear that I do not condone their behavior whatsoever. Anyone celebrating the assassination of anyone, let alone a man who did nothing wrong to anyone, was never violent to anyone. Words are not violence, remember? Violence is violence. This man who did absolutely nothing wrong other than just try to reach these people with his ideas, you cannot be celebrating the assassination of a figure like that. A gentle man and a father. And it is deeply indicative of a very, very serious illness in society when people are celebrating this. But to be suggesting an infringement on the First Amendment because of it, an act that would violate the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, I am deeply opposed to that. There needs to be another solution, and I believe, again, that the solution is societal consequences, just like we've been seeing. People are sharing this stuff on social media and their employers are saying, right, this is not in line with our company values and you can't be here anymore. Or no, this is not in line with you teaching young people. You can no longer be a teacher at this university. The societal impact is what we need. The communities need to be shunning people around them, just like we used to see people being chased out of town. The communities need to be shunning those around them who behave this way and let them know, no, this is the red line. Our society will not be this anymore. And if you're going to be like this, you're not going to get invited anywhere. We're not going to support your business. We don't want you around us. Maybe sell your house and move out because this community doesn't want you anymore. That's a far more appropriate response than let's censor social media. But I'll talk more about that in a moment after we're done with Mike. I do want to bring him on. I understand he's joined us now. Mike Adams, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate you coming on short notice.
Thank you, Maria. It's an honor to join you today, although I always wish it were under better circumstances. It's a very solemn day and a solemn week for America.
Yes, it is. And we just have Mike on audio only now, but I did want to bring him on today because of the fact that we have a lot of people failing to utilize their critical thinking right now. I did say, Mike, that I understand that because emotions are very high, understandably, but we have to be in a position where we continue to question narratives and official narratives. And I think that you're one of the people doing that right now.
Well, especially that here you are on InfoWars, and InfoWars has been the tip of the spear of asking reasonable questions and not automatically believing the official narratives on anything. And we owe it to Charlie Kirk, I believe, to ask every question right now. Now, we will dismiss many of the questions. We will dismiss many of the theories as evidence demands. And that's part of the process. But right now, we can't leap to the conclusion, oh, we got him, and just dismiss all the questions like, what about this rifle? How did this rifle show up? Why are the optics mounted completely incorrectly where you couldn't even shoot that rifle? And we can talk about that more, Maria, but there are many, many questions yet to be answered. And we owe it to Charlie to ask those questions.
That's a fantastic point, and something I said at the start of this broadcast, Mike. We owe it to Charlie and those around him, the people that love him and his family and friends, to be asking these questions. And I am extremely disappointed in much of the independent media that sort of rose through the ranks during, especially during the era of COVID, who are failing to do that right now, and just sort of going with the official narrative. And I want to talk to you about why you think that is. We're coming up against a break in a moment, Mike, so we'll continue on the other side. But I do want to talk to you about why you think that is. Why is it that people are just defaulting to trust the government? You know, we're the government, we're here to help, trust us, is something that I thought we'd all learned over the past 5 years, especially, that we cannot be doing, and we have to be prodding further. And I don't think that there's anything wrong or offensive about doing that. I think that, you know, if our questions are all answered, great. That's what a transparent government does. And so that's what we need to be seeing. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Mike Adams after this short break. All right, we are back here on the second hour of the War Room. I'm your guest host, Maria Z, and we're joined by our special guest, Mike Adams. So, Mike, just before the break, I was talking about the lack of critical thinking, and I don't know how much more you want to comment on that. I don't want to keep harping on about it, but I am very concerned about accepting the official narrative and not digging further.
Well, here's a good way to remind people about how to think critically on this. I said yesterday in a social media post that this magically disassembled, reassembled rifle is just like the magic indestructible passports of 9/11. And all of us know that the official government narrative about 9/11 is complete bunk, just absolute bunk. And we also know the official government narratives about a great many things, including J6. That it was also complete bunk. And we know that the FBI itself, although of course it's under different leadership now, but within the ranks of the FBI, they bowed down to wokeism and DEI and LGBT themes. There's actually photos of them kneeling before LGBT. And, you know, they haven't changed everybody at the FBI. So we have the right to ask questions. It doesn't mean that we automatically distrust everything, but we are going to fact check everything. For example, the FBI is talking about these inscriptions on the cartridges. We're told about all these inscriptions, and conservative influencers are repeating that, well, these inscriptions prove it. It was radical Antifa or radical transgenderism or trans Tifa. Well, Maria, have you seen any inscriptions? I haven't seen any inscriptions at all. They haven't released them.
No.
I mean,
no.
Am I behind or something here? But I haven't seen them.
No, I haven't seen them. And then, Mike, we also have the problem of, even if the pictures were released, then that would require examination as well in the age of AI
exactly.
And manipulated all sorts of stuff. I mean, we're in very, very uncertain times. And like you said, still so many unanswered questions about 9/11. We have to keep applying this logic. I also asked questions, Mike. You mentioned the rifle assembling and disassembling. It does appear that the shooter, is when he's jumping off the roof, doesn't have the rifle. So what, did he disassemble it? And my understanding is that Mausers in particular are quite challenging to disassemble. So what, did he put it in his backpack? Previously he had it in his pants leg. He was, you know, walking with a limp. Then he managed to disassemble, and then he would go to the effort of reassembling in the woods?
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you brought that up. It makes no sense whatsoever. So for those of the audience who are familiar with just basic gunsmithing, if you have ever tried to disassemble a Mauser-style rifle, you know that it's a big deal. And normally you need a gun vise, you need a workbench, you need tools, you have to take off the steel bands that mount the rifle to the synthetic stock in this case, or typically a wooden stock with older rifles. This is not something that you are going to be able to do quickly. I mean, in the media, they talk about this as if it's a rifle that just folds, or like it just breaks down and folds. That's not the case at all. This is very difficult to disassemble, remove the barrel, and then reassemble it. And also, everybody knows, everybody who's a shooter knows two other things about this that are absolutely critical, Maria. Number one, that optic shown in the picture is mounted way too far back into the face of the shooter. If you were to shoot that rifle, it would smack you right in the eye or split your forehead. Everybody knows that, especially if you're shooting prone. Your face and your eye is much further up into that rifle, much closer to be over the action compared to where this scope is mounted. Like you could not shoot that rifle, okay, period. The second thing is, if you disassemble it and reassemble it, guess what? You change the zero of that rifle. You have to re-zero that rifle. So that precision shot is not possible if you're taking it apart and putting it back together, and especially with that rifle scope. And I've heard some people say, well, okay, this guy's walking around and he's got the barrel down his pants. Okay, well, where did he put the rifle scope? Because that's a pretty big rifle scope. You know, is he hiding it somewhere? No, it's a skinny kid. He's not walking around with a long barrel, a rifle stock, and the optics hidden on his person somewhere. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, the explanation could potentially be he had it down his pants as he was approaching. Then he apparently disassembled it in record time, put it in his backpack, jumped off the roof, and then for some reason reassembled it to hide it in the woods. It really doesn't make sense to me, Mike. And I'm certainly not an expert on this type of gun. You know, I'll take into consideration what you've said about the scope. But there's also the matter of the reported diversion, what a lot of people are calling a diversion, Mike, of the gentleman saying, shoot me, and, you know, two prior arrests of people who were suspected and then released. What do you make of that reported diversion?
Well, highly suspicious. It smacks of coordination. We don't know for sure. We are currently entertaining many different theories, right? That's what you are doing. That's what I'm doing. And that's the right thing to do at this moment. Again, we owe it to Charlie Kirk to ask all these questions. But these diversionary tactics, if that's what they were, they allowed the real shooter, who may or may not even be the guy that they have in custody right now, allowed the real shooter more time to get away. And by the way, a real shooter could have been on the balcony of one of the buildings, or in maybe an office of the building, maybe directly underneath the guy on the roof, for example. There are many scenarios. We went through this with Butler, you know, the attempted assassination of Donald Trump and all the different angles and possible shooters that could have been involved there. And we still don't have all those answers either. But Maria, there's something else. Why would you, if you're using a bolt action rifle, you know you have one shot, probably, unless you just happen to be really, really fast with working the bolt. You probably have one shot. Why would you then put inscriptions? Why would you even have other cartridges? And then why would you put inscriptions on those cartridges if you didn't plan to get caught? You know, clearly this person planned to get away. And if you plan to get away, why wouldn't you take the rifle with you? And if you plan to get caught, why wouldn't you leave the rifle on the roof? There's no scenario where you write things on cartridges and then disassemble the gun from the roof and then reassemble it, leave it in the woods, apparently with a cardboard box or something, and then wait for people to find that and leave them clues so they can find you. It doesn't add up.
Right. And reportedly, the suspect was wanting to end his life because he'd been caught out before his father convinced him to go to the police station. Is it possible, Mike, that he was just that unstable that he made all of these errors, somehow miraculously assembled, disassembled a gun? I mean, I don't know. That's the weirdest part to me, to be honest with you. But is it possible that he made all these errors, wanted it transcribed because he had hate inside of him and wanted these inscriptions rather, not transcribed inscriptions, well, because he had hate inside of him and then he changed his mind? I mean, these things are a possibility.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would believe it if somebody can recreate the actions, obviously without live ammo, but if somebody can go onto a roof, assemble a rifle, you know, pull a trigger after it's, of course, not live ammo, of course, but then if they can disassemble it, put it in their pants, leap off the roof, run away, and reassemble it all within a couple of minutes, if I can see somebody do that, then I might be a believer. Until I see somebody do that, I don't believe it at all.
Say that is what happened, then the question remains again about the reported diversion, which made police focus on another individual while the alleged shooter did that. There's also that possibility, right?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he had more time than we know about right now, possibly, but that video that your producers were just showing, I don't see where there's a rifle, a barrel. That's a long barrel. I don't see where that barrel is in his pants. I mean, he's bending his knees as he's climbing down and landing on the ground. I don't know if anybody's ever tried to leap off a building and land on the ground with a gun barrel in your pants, but it probably doesn't work. You know, it's probably a very painful experience. I just don't believe it. I the explanation doesn't make any sense, like a lot of explanations with 9/11, you know, etc. And again, you know, Alex Jones has the history of asking the questions that need to be asked about these events. And asking the questions doesn't mean disloyalty to Trump. It doesn't mean disloyalty to Kash Patel. It doesn't mean disloyalty to Israel. It doesn't mean disloyalty to anybody to simply ask questions. We want to know what happened. And Maria, if you don't mind me sort of zooming out a little bit on this.
Sure.
I have to mention that in the West, we live in a death culture, sadly. There is a demonic overlay over our culture where there is so much celebration of death. And it's on the left and it's partially on the right. For example, leftists celebrate abortion. And some people on the right celebrate the deaths of other people overseas, depending on who's getting bombed today, right? And then some people are celebrating this tragic shooting of Charlie Kirk. And we have this culture of death, of celebrating death, and that is a sickness. It is a demonic sorcerer's spell that it's been cast over humanity. It has afflicted the minds and the spirits of so many people in the West. And if we don't denounce that and bring back faith and God into our lives and say we are done with this cycle of death and destruction and celebration and evil, if we don't denounce it, we're never going to escape it. All of us have to remember that we are all children of God. We have to defend the lives of those who are innocent, wherever they may be, even if we don't agree with their politics or their skin color or their religion. And I've seen, for example, so many people in the United States, I've seen prominent people running for office, conservatives, taking flamethrowers to religious texts of Islam, for example. That kind of imagery is very violent. It is inciting violence. That kind of imagery is extremely dangerous, even if you disagree with Islam. Don't run around shooting people or torching the Bible or other religious texts just because you disagree with their religion. That kind of activity is, we should all denounce it and understand that life is universal. All of us are children of God.
Well, here's the thing that's happening, Mike, and it's happening all across the West. And it's exactly like Michael Yon said, which is that you bring all of these different cultures and religions and everything into what was a multicultural society experiment, and we found that the experiment doesn't work. And that's just, I'm just being honest now. And there are certain people, certain cultures that will get along and certain cultures that won't. And because of all of the turmoil going on in this world, especially escalating post-COVID, there is going to be a clash of those cultures, because when push comes to shove and times get difficult, people become tribal. And to deny that people become tribal is very naive and dangerous. And what the West is trying to do, and Western politicians are trying to do, is say that people that are noticing this pattern are just hateful, when in reality, it's just human nature for people to become tribal. And I think as people become more tribal, we're potentially going to see more of this, which is why we definitely need to de-escalate these tensions. But I don't think the answer, I don't think the answer is censorship. And that's what some people have called for. We just spoke about what Rep. Clay Higgins tweeted. He's going to cancel people's driver's licenses and, you know, be monitoring social media and deplatform them forever. Completely unconstitutional, completely antithetical to everything Charlie Kirk stood for. He stood for freedom of speech. I understand that his approach, people are saying it's not working. Reaching out to these people doesn't work. But you can't then just go, okay, well, we're going to forget about the First Amendment. That's how we're going to deal with this. What are your thoughts on that, Mike?
Well, I agree with what you just said. And in fact, in a podcast today, I am proposing the construction and passage of what I'm going to call the Charlie Kirk Free Speech Act. We need, and I'm contacting my members of Congress and senators about this. What we need is we need to actually outlaw viewpoint discrimination by the big tech platforms, the social platforms, including X, including YouTube, including Google, et cetera. We need to outlaw viewpoint discrimination. In other words, we must enforce the fact that these are public squares of public discourse, because the left has used censorship as a weapon to silence the voices of the right for so long, including your voice and mine. And the left has therefore then entrapped their own liberals into a thought bubble, a delusional artificial world of just insane things, like thinking that a man can become a woman, for example. And then when anybody else tries to talk to them and say something that makes total sense, like we don't need tampons in men's restrooms, then the radical left says that speech is violence. Therefore, we have to censor you because your speech is violence. And I say, Maria, I say, no, censorship is violence. Censorship is instigating violence. We need to end censorship. And I'm not saying censor the left. I'm saying, fine, let their crazy ideas be seen and heard, but countered by the ideas of people who are more reasonable and rational. What Charlie Kirk actually did and demonstrated is the power of challenging the insanity of the left. And that's why we should have a Charlie Kirk free speech law. And I believe that Trump should go to Google and YouTube and the other tech platforms, and he should say, we're going to fine you $1 billion a day for every day that you continue to discriminate against people who question the safety of vaccines, or people who question the integrity of the 2020 election, or people who, you know, criticize the FBI cover-up of the Hunter Biden laptop, etc. There should be no censorship of speech allowed, especially from these larger platforms. Now, I understand banning, you know, direct incitement, somebody threatening to kill somebody. Yeah, of course. You got to ban that. But I'm talking about non-violent legal speech. Viewpoints should never be censored in this country by the big platforms.
Well, here's my issue with what they're doing right now, Mike. I just said I find the left's celebration of Charlie Kirk's assassination to be the most vile and deplorable thing, one of the most vile and deplorable things I've seen in my life. It is filth. But what Rep. Ana Paulina Luna's doing and what Rep. Clay Higgins has suggested is, you know, taking this down off social media. There shouldn't be videos of this. I think that there should be a graphic warning, perhaps, but to be demanding takedowns of content and people that are, you know, potentially saying something inappropriate about it, I think is not the answer. And certainly not people that to don't take down people's accounts who are celebrating this. We want to know who these people are so that we can either as a community shun them from society, not government punish them, as a community shun them from society, tell them you're not welcome here at this restaurant anymore. You are not welcome in this neighborhood anymore without, you know, obviously any violence, just as a community, like we used to self-police ourselves before every country became a nanny state, which has just resulted in worse things. Because you're right, censorship actually provokes people and makes them angrier. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think you're exactly right. The answer is more speech, not less, because we do want these people to expose themselves. I had a person yesterday that asked me, Mike, aren't you demonizing leftists with your criticism? I said, no, they demonize themselves. They demonize themselves when they celebrate this tragic death of a free speech champion in Charlie Kirk. And by the way, I didn't agree with Charlie Kirk on everything. Doesn't matter. I agree with his expression of freedom of speech, and I agree with his right to speak. And notice that very university, there were petitions signed to ban him from speaking at that university. And very similar petitions have been signed, and student papers have carried articles in the past threatening people like Ben Shapiro for speaking on campus, saying in the students' own words, they would say that they think they have the right to kill Mr. Shapiro because they do not like the content of his speech. And that is insane. That's completely insane. So universities need to be enforced as free speech locations, especially as they receive taxpayer money. And Trump has no problem threatening universities that allow, free Palestine protesters or whatever. But why not enforce a rule on universities to allow freedom of speech on campus? That has to be done. It used to be a place where you could think freely, you could speak freely. And the same thing with big tech. You know, before the year about 2014, you could be listed on Google even if you questioned the safety of pharmaceuticals, or even if you supported parental rights or homeschooling or what have you. Or you could post videos on YouTube with firearms, with training videos and so on that were teaching safety and gun handling safety. And the left now has just banned all these important voices and these important videos and this important knowledge. Google has become an anti-knowledge engine. Wikipedia has become a CIA-controlled smear machine. And YouTube has become a compliance hub where everybody knows if you don't comply with their demands, you don't get to stay on YouTube. And so it's watered down the entire discussion that's necessary as one of the pillars of a functioning constitutional republic, Maria.
Well, I agree with you. And this is, making conservative voices or voices with Christian values quieter while they amplify people who want to cut off children's genitals has definitely led to is a huge portion of this problem that we have in society. But my question to you, Mike, is that it seems like this really was a watershed moment for America. In many people's minds, there's no going back from this. Personally, I think what needs to happen is that the people with the correct values, the Christian values, need to be louder than anyone else right now and shape a more positive society moving forward. In the last couple of minutes, what do you think and how do we achieve that?
Well, I agree with what you just said, and I would add that the left-wing corporate media is also, it has been weaponized against the psyche of the American people. The left-wing media is anti-God, it's anti-America, it's anti-liberty, it's anti-gun, it's anti-reason. And so left-wing media giants like the New York Times and many others are most definitely part of the problem. And they are controlled by people who despise this country. And the same thing is happening, of course, at universities. They are controlled by Marxists, sometimes communists, who absolutely despise this country. So, yes, we are in a fight for the future of America and its culture and its children. And I'm very concerned, Maria, that this is going to spill out into all kinds of violence, which I do not advocate, obviously. But I'm afraid that we are going to start seeing things like left-wing groups attacking conservatives and maybe bombing churches, things like that. And then we might see some conservative groups attacking power grid substations that feed power to Democrat stronghold cities. I mean, we are, as a nation, we are very vulnerable. Our infrastructure is vulnerable. Our power grid, our railroads, our bridges, all of it is extremely vulnerable. And America wasn't built to handle this kind of internal civil war, kinetic conflict like this. I'm just very fearful that that's where this is headed.
It's certainly, if we don't see a de-escalation in society, it could lead to very, very dangerous outcomes, extremely. And I think that everyone feels that. Everyone I've spoken to, just on a personal level, is very concerned about where this country is heading. And this is why I think we rapidly need a solution where the most moral people in society are the loudest right now. But you're not going to achieve that by silencing people who are angry and demonically possessed, most of them, for goodness sake. So you're only going to inflame the situation. Mike Adams, Health Ranger, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you and your insight and your speech. Thank you. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. We have some new information flowing in. Shadow of Ezra has just posted a video to X. He says, this man says he went to high school with Charlie Kirk's accused assassin, Tyler Robinson. He describes him as nothing more than a Reddit kid. According to him, Robinson may have spent all of his time online and may have done something stupid just to impress his friends. Let's take a listen to that clip.
I'll show y'all. That's him right there. Tyler Robinson. I'm not trying to, like, clout chase make this shit about me, but I'm not going to say I knew this kid really well. I didn't know him very well at all, but I definitely saw him for, like, 3 straight years in high school, and the best way I could describe him is just, like, a Reddit kid. I don't know. I feel like if you were in high school around that same time, and even probably now, like, 2018, and then, like, you know those kinds of kids. But that's exactly what he was. All I'm going to say is this is the kind of shit that happens when you spend way too much time online and all of a sudden your beliefs are all the way this way or all the way this way and you do some dramatic shit to please these people that are not your friends.
He's swearing a bit too much. I apologize, everyone. He's saying this is a result of spending too much time online. And I have to agree that spending your entire life online is not healthy for you. And I've often said to the people that follow us, please don't spend all of your time on your phones. You know, I realize that people watch me online and obviously I want to be able to share important information with you, but please spend time doing real human connection, real time in nature. Get off your devices, get out of these screens. And there was a really, really fascinating video. Maybe we'll pull it up towards the end of the show today from this guy giving us insight into, you know, just how damaging social media and our phones have been to us and our psyche. And I have to agree with that. And in fact, at the end of this stream today on our Rumble channel, ZEEE Media, I've actually got a special report. This is the show we do with the Vigilant Fox. Give him a follow on X if you're not following already. It's called The Daily Pulse, and we've got a special report that we're releasing on AI and its effects on human beings, how they're forming very dangerous relationships with it, and how AI has even recently been responsible for someone trying to take out the Queen. Some time ago. And then these researchers at MIT actually did an experiment where they presented people with fake news that they knew was not AI generated, and people presented people with another group with fake news that they knew was AI generated. And what I found fascinating that came out of that study was that the AI generated news, fake news, even though they knew that it was AI generated, somehow managed to manipulate their thinking and implant these false memories of these stories. The fake news was able to be embedded better into these individuals when it was AI produced, which I think is very suspicious. It indicates that this isn't just a tool, which I've been saying for some time. You can look at my previous broadcasts on what I really think about AI and some of the deeper aspects of it, or the darker aspects of it. But what are these tools? What is the amount of AI-generated fake news that we see on social media? What is that actually having? What impact is that having on our psyche if, per the studies, AI-generated fake news is somehow more successful at manipulating people and getting them to believe false stories. I think this is something that as a society we need to explore further. But we do have an article that the crew just found from The Guardian, if they want to pull that up, and I'll read through it. So, suspect's high school classmate says Robinson was the only leftist in a family of very hard Republicans. In a phone interview on Friday, someone who said that they were friends with Robinson in high school, who wanted to remain anonymous, said the suspect was pretty left on everything and was the only member of his family that was really leftist. The rest of his family was very hard Republican, the friend said. Around sophomore year, the friend said Robinson became more extreme in his political views and would always just be ranting and arguing about them. The friend said that they played video games together a lot in high school and noted that the bullet engraving with the arrows was a reference to Helldivers 2, which they say they mentioned earlier. He said that the arrows specifically were in reference to calling in a big bomb that exists in the game called the 500 kilogram. When the friend saw the news on Friday, he said he was shocked. I knew he, Robinson, had strong political views, but I never thought he would even go that far. The friend said he'd not spoken to Robinson in years and began to drift apart towards the end of high school. Another high school classmate separately told The Guardian that the friend and Robinson were close in school and would play video games. What I think that we need to keep an eye out on is whether there's going to be some sort of a crackdown on the gaming community, because obviously we're hearing a lot about gaming, Discord, these sorts of things. And I think the clip found that, the crew found that clip from earlier, so we'll take a look at that. There's been a lot of discussion about Roblox and other platforms like this needing to be censored in response to this tragedy. So let's take a look at that clip about Discord. Let's play that clip, crew.
Member Robinson mentioned Charlie Kirk was coming to UVU. They talked about why they didn't like him and the viewpoints that he had. The family member also stated Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate. The family member also confirmed Robinson had a gray Dodge Challenger. Investigators identified an individual as the roommate of Robinson. Investigators interviewed that roommate, who stated that his roommate, referring to Robinson, made a joke on Discord. Investigators asked if he would show them the messages on Discord. He opened it and showed several messages to investigators and allowed investigators to take photos of the screen as each message was shown by Robinson's roommate. These photos consisted of various messages, including content of messages between the phone contact named Tyler with an emoji icon and Robinson's roommate's device. The content of these messages included messages affiliated with the contact Tyler, stating a need to retrieve a rifle from a drop point, leaving the rifle in a bush, messages related to visually watching the area where a rifle was left, and a message referring to having left the rifle wrapped in a towel. The messages also refer to engraving bullets and a mention of a scope and the rifle being unique. Messages from the contact Tyler also mentioned that he had changed outfits.
Okay, so what is this exchange that he's having with his roommate? Is it his roommate? I don't think it was quite, I'm quite clear on the details there. So there's images that they've taken from someone's phone that's pulling up messages, and apparently Robinson's roommate's device, something about retrieving a rifle. So who was he talking to about retrieving that rifle? And, you know, if this was on Discord, why are the authorities not able to find that? And locate that individual and see what that's about. And it just, it seems all a little bit too loose for me at the moment. If you bring up picture 7 that I sent you guys, Nick Fuentes tweeted something earlier today, which I think is a very good tweet. We need more from the Trump administration than what we're getting. Release all the information about the assassin and his Discord contacts. Everyone must be investigated. Tell us the plan. How will the government stop this from ever happening again? Where is the leadership? Now, obviously, you can't release the contacts during an active investigation, but what leads are they looking into? Why don't we know this? Why have we just had this one statement about, yeah, we saw some messages on Discord? Well, between who? Who's telling him where to leave a rifle? Why is that person not arrested yet? What's going on here? And so there needs to be more leadership about this, and we need to make sure this never happens again. And just going back to my earlier points, there are a few other tweets that I want to show you from Anna Paulina Luna. So we have number 15. She said, I'm calling on Elon Musk, Finked, and TikTok US to remove the horrifying videos of Charlie Kirk's murder. He has a family, young children, and no one should be forced to relive this tragedy online. These are not the only graphic videos of horrifying murders circulating. At some point, social media begins to desensitize humanity. We must still value life. Please take them down. Again, I understand the sentiment here, but just think back to January 6th, for example, and how many people were deplatformed. The president has been deplatformed himself. How many people, the left used the excuse that something was, you know, the actions of the J6s were deplorable, and so these people had to be deplatformed. Okay, they were wrong in that instance, and perhaps Anna Paulina Luna's right in her moral stance here, but we can't allow that precedent to continue to perpetuate in our society. We can't allow that. And as we just said with Mike Adams, when you censor people, it makes them angrier. And, you know, I'm just thinking to people like, for example, there was a violent stabbing of Bishop Marmari in Sydney, I believe last year. And the e-safety commissar of Australia issued a global takedown demand of that content. And she was trying to say that it was violent and social media platforms should be taking this down. Well, America and X fought that. They fought that decision because how dare anyone in any government be dictating to us what we can and can't have on our platforms? No one is forcing people to view these videos. I got to a point when those videos were circulating on X. I'm a person that was trying to do my job and trying to report on this in the midst of this, and all I was seeing was that gruesome video. Now, that is what society is doing right now. I put my phone down for a period of time until I could go back and find other information without having to see that video. No one forced me to view it. It was my decision whether I wanted to keep viewing it or not. The maximum that the government could do here is issue an order or a directive to social media companies to put a sensitive content warning on it, not a takedown request. And I will remind you again that America was in absolute uproar when an Australian member of government was trying to censor X as a social media platform with that violent stabbing of Bishop Marmari. You had Australian media outlets that had to blur the whole thing out. And the sentiment at the time was, no, we need to know if this is going on in our society. We have to be aware that there are violent people out there who are doing this to others. And we need to be prepared as a society as well to keep our people safe at a local level, to deal with this behavior. How are we as communities going to disavow these people and uninvite them from polite society? You can't just shut this down. You can't, and it's unconstitutional to do so. It's unconstitutional. In tweet 16, she said, I've just been notified that Roblox has a game on their platform referencing the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I'm going to be asking Apple and the App Store to remove their app if they don't immediately remove this, as well as contacting the FCC to take down their website. Then she said, I've just been notified that Roblox is working immediately to remove the content featuring the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Thank you to their CEO for not allowing this nasty and vile content stay on their platform. Nasty and vile. I don't know specifically what was circulating. I saw some really, really horrendous things on Roblox. It is one thing to be glorifying violence, and it is another to just be sharing information about a violent event. And I think the lines have been blurred here because everyone is emotional and they don't want, they're repulsed by the people who've responded in the way that they have. But the answer is not censorship. You're just going to make them angrier And it's going to inflame the situation further in terms of the response from these radical people on the far left who are already responding to many things that the Trump administration is doing in a way that is not acceptable in society. We already have laws for people that commit crimes. Speech is not a crime. Sharing information is not a crime. And therefore, once we make that a crime, or once we make that something that's enforceable by the federal government, it is a very slippery slope. Again, the left used that excuse when they were in power about J6s and take them down, and these people are violent and they're this and they're that. Well, maybe not everyone that's sharing videos of that horrific event, of that horrific murder, is a violent person, but yet their content is being taken down. We have to know what's going on in our societies. There has to be another way other than what Rep. Clay Higgins suggested, which was banning them from driving. I mean, I hope people understand my point here. I hope people understand the slippery slope. And my concern is, with all of the different surveillance suggestions that the administration has made, for example, I'll just give you one other example, Melania Trump, let me look this up to make sure I give you the correct quote from her. So there was a Fox News article after the Minneapolis Catholic school shooting. And they said, Melania Trump calls for preemptive intervention in identifying potential school shooters. It says, Melania Trump calls for preemptive intervention in identifying potential school shooters, which she says, this was my summary, will involve, quote, behavioral threat assessments across all levels of society, beginning in our homes, extending through school districts, and of course, social media platforms. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't think that the response, and you may remember that intelligence security expert went on Fox News and said we're deploying Gideon. I don't think that the solution to these problems is the people begging for and accepting a surveillance state and AI surveillance in our homes. Listen to the language very carefully. Behavioral threat assessments across all levels of society, beginning in our homes, extending through school districts, and of course, social media platforms. And, you only have to look to Argentina, who basically announced a pre-crime software some time ago. I maintain that I think that that was the test case for the rest of the world, and I don't think that Javier Milei, who's sold all of his natural resources to private companies and, no one knows where the gold's gone in Argentina, I don't think that he's the good guy that everyone keeps telling us that he is. Why did he? Why was he the first country to implement pre-crime software in his society? And I really think that a tragedy of this nature is something that would desensitize people or maybe distract them from the greater agenda here, which is pre-crime, Palantir, AI surveillance, and all of the above. And when we consider the embedding of Palantir, whose founder is currently, one of their co-founders is holding a conference this month, a four-day conference on the Antichrist and his politics, I think when we consider that this organization has been embedded through Doge, by the way, through Doge, that's what Doge did, opened the door for Palantir to come in and link HHS, the IRS, all your social security data, and probably eventually banking, all of your online activity, everything will eventually be linked. But nonetheless, the multiple federal agencies linked through Palantir, when we consider these types of massive surveillance steps, Big Brother steps that have already been taken in just a few short months, we should be very, very cautious of the things proposed as a result of this. And through my emotion initially when what happened, and believe me, I'm a human being, it was just as traumatizing for me as everyone else. But my response was, and I'll read you my tweet when I saw what Clay Higgins said. My response was, in the midst of this tragedy, as with all tragedies, people need to ensure they regulate their emotions and do not allow a single exchange of freedom for perceived security. Everyone must consider the ramifications of this Patriot Act 2.0-esque proposal from Rep. Clay Higgins, and that is what I perceive it to be. Because you, how are you going to implement this type of mass surveillance on society without it affecting everyone? If you have, if team, bring up that tweet again from Clay Higgins. If you have a system where obviously there's going to have to be some sort of technology that's going through this to find people that are belittling Charlie Kirk's assassination or running their mouth or celebrating the heinous murder, which of course are all deplorable things, but you're going to have to run some sort of tech or surveillance tech to locate all of these people. And he's saying that big tech need to have zero tolerance for violent political hate content. Again, if you're deeming that someone belittling his death is espousing violent political hate content, that's a problem, because they're not. Unless they're calling for political violence, their words are not violence. I know that's disgusting, everyone, because we're all extremely disgusted at their reactions, but let's just calm our natural emotions to this and think about the later repercussions of these actions. If we are calling people who are behaving in a way that is deemed inappropriate violent political hate, if we're applying that term to people that are just laughing at something that really is disgusting to be laughing at, but if that's violent political hate, how could that, think about all the different myriad of ways that that can be weaponized against us later down the track? And what sort of technology has to be deployed for these people to be banned from all platforms forever? How far reaching is that legislation that's going to essentially implement a social credit system for these people saying you are the deplorables, you can't be allowed on social media ever again? Now, you may think that, you know, they shouldn't be allowed. I agree that they have no place in polite society, but I'm concerned about the repercussions for the others who do have a place in polite society but may just be saying things that are inconvenient to the government tomorrow or any time in the future. I hope everyone understands my point here, because this is something I could talk about all night. When he says that he's going after their business licenses and their businesses are going to be blacklisted aggressively, again, I understand the sentiment of wanting these people to be punished, you know, for their actions. And that should be a societal response, not a government response that has far-reaching implications for all of society that can later, even if you subscribe to the Democrat-Republican system of this party and that party and there is no uniparty, even if you think there is no uniparty whatsoever, which I am not of that opinion, but nonetheless, even if you're of that opinion, just think about the repercussions for if a law like this is signed today and the Democrats get in next time, what that will mean for conservatives who they consider that making a joke about a transgender person or even suggesting that children's genitals shouldn't be chopped off, that that's violent and that's hatred and that's leading to a transgender genocide. They've said these words. So we have to be watching for whatever legislation is proposed as a result of this, and we must oppose it. People have to think past their emotions right now and think 10 steps ahead, 20 steps ahead, whatever it may be. Remember that the government always either screws things up or works against us. I'm not saying that's what these people are doing. I think they're very emotional at the moment, and granted, I understand that. But I'm just saying, think about what this would mean 10 steps ahead. Kicked out from every school and their driver's licenses should be revoked. So because they made an extremely distasteful joke, their drivers, they can't drive anymore? What are you talking about? And this goes back to what I was saying earlier, and after the break, we're going to take your calls, if the crew can bring up the number on the screen, please, because I want to hear what people have to say about this, and I want to hear from the community how you're feeling about all of this. The number is 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. I want to hear from everyone on this topic, on the censorship topic, what you think the solution in society is going to be. Again, my opinion is that people need to be watching those that they know themselves on social media, police, your own friends, your own community. It needs to be a societal a very aggressive societal response to, we will no longer tolerate this. When I say aggressive, I don't mean physically. We will no longer tolerate this deplorable behavior in society, and we as a community are going to be rooted in what this country was founded on, which is Christian values. And that is what we want, and we're not tolerating anything other than that. And there needs to be support from law enforcement and the federal government for these initiatives without punishing people with the law for speech, because that is such a dangerous precedent that will lead to the weaponization against conservatives. 100% guaranteed it. It'll lead to the persecution of Christians, conservatives, and everyone who holds any strong moral values in the blink of an eye. Because tomorrow, you may think that everything this admin is doing is great, but tomorrow a different administration will be in place and they will use it. Mark my words. Again, the number is 877-789-2539. I'm going to get to as many calls as possible after this short break. Looking forward to hearing from you all. What do you think about the information we've presented here? Do you still have more questions? Give a call into the line and we'll talk about it. We'll be right back. Maria Z of zmedia.com. You can follow me at zEEE_media on X. And I want to encourage everyone to support InfoWars. This is such a vital free speech platform. You just heard some ads play. I encourage everyone to continue supporting this outlet. I can tell you now, I've been jumping in and out, guest hosting InfoWars for a couple of years now, never been told what I can and can't say. And that's what we need. We need to support outlets that are happy to explore different things, ask questions, and foster an environment of free speech, especially when it's such under such attack, and it is right now. Very quickly, before I go to the calls, I want to tell you about what's happening in Australia right now, and it ties into what I was just talking about. The Australian government just dropped an Islamophobia report. This is per George Christensen. He's a former MP there, and this is what they're planning. They're not targeting criminals. They're not targeting chasing terrorists. They're targeting you for what you say, what you post, and what you think. It's not about hate, it's about obedience. So inside the report, they've revealed a national Islamophobia database, reporting systems for bias-motivated conduct, pressure on social media to censor people, surveillance of online speech, even if it's legal, and department-wide policies to flag, quote, problematic attitudes. Now, this is directly related to what I was just talking about before the break and these censorship efforts that are currently underway here. This is how quickly countries like Australia and Canada and the UK fall and descend into complete dystopia. Imagine having, mind you, it hasn't eradicated the problems. You still have rapes, you still have violence, you still have horrible, horrific acts in these countries against citizens, except they're not allowed to talk about it. And that's what I am concerned about here. That's what we cannot allow here. And everyone must stand up for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights for that reason. Let's go to Mark in Buffalo. Mark, you're on the air. Mark, I can't hear Hello? You. Can you hear me? There you are. Hello, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, how are you doing?
I'm well, Mark.
I'm calling about, yes, I'm actually from Maryland, but what I'm calling about is exactly what you talk about, the free speech and all that's trying to be taken away with the social credits and all the media that's coming quickly. But, you know, because whenever that happens, even when things are done bad and evilly and all that stuff is going on with Charles Kirk and everybody else, just the born-again Christians will be affected by that too, people who love the Lord, who want to share Jesus with other people. So what you're saying is 100% right, and we're going down that very quickly.
Yes, we are. And it's being done by the people that perceive are on their team. And that's why I'm saying we have to very quickly snap out of that. We have to understand that in the midst of a tragedy, government will always find a way to impose restrictions on people's freedom of speech and freedom of thought. And even when it comes to deplorable behavior in society, if it's not illegal, we can't allow the government to be policing thoughts. And it can very quickly turn into what I just told you about in Australia. Syria, where, you know, it's now it's Islamophobia. So right now we have a supposed right-wing party in power. Tomorrow we won't. And imagine the draconian measures that will be taken against conservatives. And you're right, Christians, because that is the ultimate goal of these agenda drivers. They want to silence Christians and persecute Christians. Thank you, Mark, so much for your call. Let's go to Jack in Wisconsin. I think Jack's from Wisconsin, making sure we got the location right. Jack, you're on the air.
Hi, good day, Maria Z. How you doing?
Doing well, Jack. Thank you for calling in. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about when you and Mike Adams were talking about the Mauser rifle. It was designed to be steel-stripped and maintained on the field when they originally designed it. So it is possible with the disassembly. I don't know about reassembling and still having a zero. That's not really possible. And then if you look at the video when he jumps off the roof, Chase Geiser was talking about it earlier. You can kind of see like he has a duffel bag. So you could have put the rifle in the bag with a hole in it, completed or taken it apart. So it's now the realm of possibility. And then also, I thought it was kind of strange. I called in yesterday about all the coincidences with numerology and the number 3 and 9/11. I really didn't like how today Kash Patel was like 36 hours to find him, to be precise, 33. It's just a little bit too much 33 stuff all the time, you know?
Yes, and of course we know that. For anyone who isn't aware, and I'm sure that the InfoWars audience is, the number of 33 has significance for the occult, for masonry, and I found that to be odd as well. And then I saw quite a few different posts in social media and on YouTube, 33 hours, 33, 33. It was like plastered everywhere. So, you know, it is a curious detail. I'm not saying it definitely is occultic symbolism, but it is a curious detail to consider. Something that you said, Jack, about you can disassemble the rifle, perhaps, you know, it's possible. Why would the shooter then go and reassemble it to leave it in the woods? That's the part that doesn't make sense. Okay, maybe you can disassemble it and put it in your backpack and run off, but then what, you put it back together to put it in the woods? Or what's that about?
You can put it back together because you're being chased by the police and you want to have a gun to shoot, you know? I thought maybe you put it together later, or it was still assembled in the bag. You know, so maybe, you know, they're always, though, with these stories and these big news stories, there's always this wacky, wild stuff that doesn't add up. And I don't like it either that it seems like the government in the U.S. and worldwide is just lying to its citizens. But don't also forget yesterday, Charlie Kirk was 31 years old and 331 days, and it was 33 weeks since Trump's second inauguration. So it's just a lot of threes. And wearing the pyramid hat, triangle on his hat, which is the three-sided shape.
Yeah, I think what you said about, you know, perhaps you would reassemble it in case you're being chased, you know, maybe these are all maybes, but questions I think that are still valid and should be answered. Candace Owens tweeted something interesting. Guys, if you can bring that up, picture 8, Candace tweets, be very wary and suspicious of the people who are already telling us to stop asking questions about the Charlie Kirk assassination. Mind you, this is one of his friends. She says the father of the shooter was 27-year veteran of the Washington County Sheriff's Department. We need to continue to ask questions about absolutely everything. I want to know everything there is to know about everyone around this kid. And again, I am echoing her warning. Be very wary and suspicious of the people who are already telling us to stop asking questions about this assassination. I think that we should keep doing that, which is why I appreciate your call in, Jack. Thank you. Let's go to Hillbilly Mystic from Missouri. Hillbilly Mystic from Missouri, you're on the air.
Hello. It's an honor to talk to you. How you doing?
Likewise. Thank you so much, Hillbilly Mystic. What would you like to say?
Well, I want to say that, first of all, I declared independence from my digital minder. I think we got tricked by the serpent again into sharing our every thought, feeling, and action and location to an apple in the last 20 years via text and social media. And so I just, you know, I think it's important now that we start using our minds. We get off our knees and start using our minds. So I've been reading a lot Thomas Jefferson and these guys that started this country, and his take on the censorship was what reminded me when you were talking, like, he would have killed or died for his worst enemy's ability to have his free speech. And we've fallen so far from then, from that point to now, even intelligence-wise and freedom, what we've allowed to happen. And so I just want to say I agree with you, and I think that really we need a revolution of minds and consciousness now more than bullets. And I think that more people need to put down their screens and start using their mind and acting and doing things.
I agree.
Like Charlie
Absolutely
Kirk,
agree
like
with
Charlie
you.
Kirk did. Because yes, I think too many of us have just sat and looked at screens for 20 years, you know, and done nothing. And they
yes,
think
you're right. And while he did obviously reach us all through the online world, and many people were inspired by his clips and activity online, what he was doing was in the real world. And that's such a good point, Hillbilly Mystic. He was in the real world using that powerful, powerful tool of free speech that God gave us, not any government. It's given to us by God, so no government can take it away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad you're here. I hope you stick around. I love the only thing I do anymore online is listen to your guys' show. So
appreciate you, Hillbilly Mystic. Thank you so much for your call. We'll go to the next caller here. We have Hope from Morocco. Hope from Morocco. I know Hope. Hello. Hope, you're on the air. No, it doesn't look like we have Hope on the line. Let me know if she comes back on, guys. We've got Kyle from New York. Kyle, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon or good morning. I don't know what time it is out by you, but good day, Maria.
I'm in Texas, Kyle.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I just tuned in before I called. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Before I get into it, I just want to say a quick prayer to God and Jesus for everyone. It'll take about 5 to 10 seconds. It's been weighing on my mind lately. Lord, we ask that Charlie Kirk is with you in heaven, and, you know, doing what he does best, along with watching over his family. And please be with his family and let them know that you are there, and allow them some peace in this time. And let them be able to heal in just any way possible. As far as the InfoWarriors go, please be with everybody who's freely speaking and trying to get the truth out there, from Alex to Maria to Harrison, people like Glenn Beck, Joe Rogan, and I know there was some tension with Owen, but even him too. Just be with everyone and protect them as they get the truth out. They silenced the man because he was speaking truth with people who opposed him. So I ask that you pray, and I ask that you protect everybody, and you hear this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for that, Kyle. I absolutely agree, and those have been my words, my desperate plea to the Lord that he protects people. Obviously, there are people who wanted Charlie gone, and apart from this shooter. And those same people would likely have a target on many different conservatives' backs. And so we have to pray for the protection of anyone who's speaking out in the public sphere right now. And we will keep praying for Charlie Kirk's soul. What else did you want to say, Kyle?
Yes, I just want people to keep an eye out for social media. I know somebody had just come on, and it's not really why I called, but this is probably the most important thing of anything else. There's a lot of hate going on, and the left is going to try to deny it, because that's one of the things that satanic energy does, right? They do something and then they project it. I think we have to be like Charlie and call it out. We have to be direct and, you know, truthful and honest, and speak with that power and that courage, and be Christ-like. So I just ask that we don't shy away in this moment. I think things are going to get darker. I spoke with somebody last night, and they claimed that they were, you know, they had some intel on what was going on, and they kind of relayed this to me on a TikTok live of all places. He said there's three events that have to take place, and the first one is they missed Trump. The second is they take the voice of someone or a life of someone prominent, and they did that with Charlie. And the third will push us over the edge as a society. I'm praying that doesn't happen,
But he said that this will inevitably, and this leads to your point about surveillance, to bring it full circle, this, they're going to try to do stuff that's going to lead us to be tense and aggravated and violent. I pray that we don't do that, because that will make the left correct, and Trump will be at that time forced to bring in a martial law. So no matter how bad things get, I pray that we can avoid just being violent, because they are really going to push that. Alex mentioned the Podesta war games that are now in play. The only way to stop that is to really just pray and turn to the Lord. And I pray that we all do that. And Maria, I just want to thank you. This is not even what I intended to call about, but I want to thank you for having me up here. And I hope that this resonated with a few people.
Thank you so much for your call, Kyle, and I completely agree with you. We have to pray for good to prevail. A huge point of that is repentance and our own personal repentance. Pray that the Lord would have mercy on this nation, because there is a lot of evil that happens here, as it does all over the world. But we need divine intervention. I don't mean to focus only on the censorship aspect of this, because there is a very real cultural problem here in this country, and you can't deny that. I mentioned Nick Fuentes's broadcast earlier in the show from last night. I recommend people go and watch it and listen to what he has to say. He had some very, very harsh and choice words for the nation, and I think he was right in a lot of that. You cannot continue with a society being this demonic and this evil. You just can't. It will fall apart. But the answer here isn't to inflame it and make it worse by shutting everyone up. It's to spotlight it and have free speech warriors like Charlie was rise to the surface and really lead the country in a better direction. I don't see another way, and that has to be done by Christians. I don't care if that offends anyone. It has to be done by Christians, because they're the ones that can be trusted with the moral compass. So thank you so much for your call, Kyle. I'd like to go to, I don't know if it's Wiley or Willie in California. Willie, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah, it's Willie. Hi, Maria. Yeah, I just loved, and I had listened to a video on my walk this morning from Mike Adams suggesting we get on the phone, get on the horn, and call our congressman and demand that we honor Charlie Kirk with the Free Speech Act. Censorship should be banned, not speech. The Republican Party bears at least a little bit of responsibility for the assassination attempt and Charlie Kirk, with their lack of urgent action. There should never be censorship of any kind over political views, whether it be about what vaccine mandates, climate change, gender ideology, or especially criticism of foreign governments. Google, YouTube, and others are violating constitutional rights with their illegal fascist corporate tactics. Left-wing DEI has now been seemingly replaced by right-wing DEI. So let's call our congressman to reinstate the First Amendment by recognizing a free speech bill in honor of Charlie Kirk, as he proudly gave his life for it.
Wow, Willie, that is powerful, and you're so right. And calling it the Charlie Kirk Free Speech Act is an incredible honor of his memory. I agree with you. Censorship is never the answer. It makes things worse. I can confirm it, coming originally from a country where censorship is much worse than it is here. They're at the point where they're punishing people for their thoughts and their beliefs and their deeply held beliefs. And that is where this leads to. And it will obviously inevitably be weaponized against conservatives and Christians, and we cannot allow for that. Left-wing DEI being replaced by right-wing DEI, I'm so glad that you identify that, because I see a lot of people on social media who don't see that pattern, and people need to start seeing it. And as far as the responsibility goes, we can't pretend that we haven't called left-wing lunatics, and we haven't said in the past, you know, we've generalized that all people on the left are crazy and violent. And I even said it before. I said so many of these people are possessed. You know, we can't pretend that we haven't said these things as well. But to say that words are what's causing violence, no, I just don't buy that. I don't buy it from anyone. And so, you know, this stuff about, you know, they've demonized Trump by comparing him to Hitler. Yeah, that's true. They have done that. But what do? Just shut down those news networks? No, I want to know that MSNBC or CNN or whichever of these news networks, I don't know which ones specifically compared Trump to Hitler, I want to know which ones are doing that so that I know to watch them for their propaganda and know what, you know, or to completely tune out of them. Why do you think they're all going broke? You know, why do you think CNN's ratings are so bad? Well, are we going to ban CNN now? Well, if they want to ban people that are, you know, pay attention to what they're doing here, because they're talking about banning the speech of people online, but they haven't said anything about the media, you know, and I'm not saying the media should be banned either. I'm just saying, look at who the target is that's being proposed. It's social media users. Why? Because they want to get a digital ID in and this will be a doorway to it. Don't buy it. I want to go to Sarah in Kansas. Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi, first time caller.
Welcome.
Yes, I wanted to talk about Charlie Kirk, and wow, I was so struck by that video. It was just terrible. I didn't know him, but when I think of what his wife and his kids are going through, it's just terrible. I have two little kids and I just can't imagine how terrible that would be like. And yeah, it's a demonic force that we are up against, and they think that they're going to win. But in the end, they're not. But, you know, yeah, I just have no words to describe how terrible that was for me to see that.
Yeah, extremely, extremely graphic and traumatizing for so many people across this nation and beyond, Sarah. There really are no words that describe that. I think, you know, we're not supposed to, like I said earlier, we're not supposed to see things like that. Not saying this should be censored from us. I'm just saying that as a society, these things should not be happening. And I would happily go my whole life without ever seeing that happen to absolutely anyone on this earth. It is horrific. And you know, I think from your end and mine, we just have to keep praying for his family. I cannot believe how difficult this must be on his wife, his children now and in the future. There are no words. But we have to be strong. We have to pray. And we have to be on watch for what comes as a result of this and really prepare with our local communities for potential disasters. We have to be ready for those things. Like the previous caller said, Alex has been talking about the Podesta plan. That's utter chaos if they proceed with some type of a civil war scenario. That is complete and utter chaos. And we have to do whatever we can to prevent that, but also be prepared for difficult times. And I think that that's just wise moving forward. Would you agree with that, Sarah?
Yes, I would. And also, when I was thinking of it, yes, what you guys were talking about, a lot of the, you know, normal human reaction is to get angry and to just lash out at, you know, people that are, you know, lashing out at us. But that's not what Yeshua wants us to do. We should love our enemies and rise above.
I'm sorry, Sarah, we're coming up against a break. We're coming up against a break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We are in the last half of the final hour of the War Room. I'm going to get through as many calls as I possibly can. I'm sorry if I don't get to you, but I will do my best. Thank you for holding. John from Eastern Oregon, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I've listened to you different times and love your country, been there twice. Hate what's going on there. And it's coming here, Maria. It's coming here quick.
I can see it, John. That's why I'm warning about it, because of where I come from initially.
Well, you're a watchwoman. You're a sounder like Alex. He's a trumpet. You know, we're here. Certain ones of us are here for a definite reason. You know, many are called, few are chosen. There are chosen ones among us. And one thing that I've been in my life is the reality that Yeshua has placed in my life, that Yahweh has placed in my life. Maria, I've actually seen the fallen angels. I've talked to people with high clearances, compartmentalization, and the government that know so well that the fallen angels are in control. And they know they can't be destroyed. Even God himself, Yahweh, cannot destroy them. They're created beings. This thing goes so much deeper. And we're in a battle right now that is transpiring. And it's real. The deaths are real. All of this is real. But it is a distraction from what is coming. It's still hidden. That's why the dignitaries and clergy and the people, the blue bloods, royalty, go to Antarctica. They actually get their walking papers, their orders directly from Satan. Now, that infiltrates underground all the way to the Vatican. That's another hellhole. Israel. Why do you think everything is revolving around Israel and they want to, you know, it's all coming together and the time is short.
The time is short, John. And did I get your name wrong? It's John, right?
Jonathan, yeah.
Yes. The time is short, and we have to be acutely aware of that. This entire agenda, the entire agenda of the New World Order, which, by the way, the EU chief just declared the other day, she basically, in no uncertain terms, said we are we're in the New World Order and we need a war. France is, I just did a report on this, we just released a report yesterday about this, which we delayed a day because of the horrible tragedy that just happened, but France is preparing, they've told their hospitals to prepare for a major conflict by March of 2026, to prepare their hospitals, to convert bus stops and God knows what else, bus depots for all these soldiers that they're expecting as a fallout of this war. There is a war coming, a physical kinetic war. I don't know what the United States involvement in that is going to be, but certainly there are tensions increasing in the Middle East, tensions increasing in Europe. And if we just look at what the Bible warns us, men's hearts are going to fail them. And so this is just a foreshadow. What we've been going through these past few years is a foreshadow of what is coming, which is why we need to stay close to Christ. And we need leaders in society that are Christians that can be trusted with these times. We can no longer rely on people who do not believe in Christ to be leading us through what is coming. So I echo that sentiment, John, and people need to be aware of what we're facing. Thank you so much for your call. We're going to go to Ginger in South Dakota. Ginger, you're on the air. Thank you so much for holding.
Can you hear me?
Sure can, Ginger. You're on the air.
Awesome. I just wanted to tell you thank you for hosting today. I love it when you come on. And InfoWars, I've been a huge fan. I've been listening to you guys since 9/11, back when 9/11 was, you know, happened. So thank you for coming on, and thank you for discussing today with Mike Adams and asking all those questions, because I've seen a lot of posts on X where people are pointing that stuff out. I would like to ask if the crew could have Doug Hagman come on, because he was on last night on Paul Begley's show, and he was one of the investigators, from the way I understood it, with the shooting out there, the killing of Charlie Kirk, and he was talking about all his scientific stuff that he does with all of his detective work. Also, there's another guy on YouTube, and his channel is called The Christian Warrior. He does trainings for churches for security, but he was also a 20-plus year top detective out of California that's done all sorts of sniper shooting, and he was talking about different scenarios and why there wasn't enough police out there helping watch what was going on in the rally for Charlie. So if we could, if anybody has time to look into those clips and also maybe check out Brandon Biggs again. I know Alex interviewed him when President Trump got shot, and Brandon had prophesied that. Well, Brandon's been prophesying more stuff that's super scary.
I'm just going to tell you, Ginger. I'm just going to tell you, Ginger. I heard something quite alarming from Brandon at one point, which was he was sort of talking about how God's going to use Neuralink at one point to reach people, and that really kind of really it was disturbing to me. But nonetheless, I'm not going to tell people who to listen to and who not to listen to. But the truth of about prophets and what the original church says about them is essentially to just be very wary of prophecy and make sure that it is actually from God. But thank you for those recommendations, Ginger. We have a lot of calls to get through. I want to get through as many as I can. Kayla from Austin. Kayla, you're on the air.
Hi, Maria. First, I quickly want to talk about methylene blue because 8 years ago, I fell into a dog fight and had part of my lip ripped off. And the hardest part was I can't get more surgery because I don't trust the surgeons. But I had no feeling. And with the methylene blue, you can't believe it, but I have feeling there. But I wanted to talk to you about, do you remember Dr. Robert Epstein? Or, you know, I agree with you guys on the free speech, everything you said. But when you talked about AI and how it was able to get to them, if you look at his work, because of the work he was doing in California, he was able to see how, like back in the day when they did propaganda, say with Coke, it was multiple images. And so there are images that they put in there that you can't see. You don't recognize unless you capture it. So I think we need to talk to him again and see what he's
right.
up to.
Yeah, great point. Again, right after this broadcast, people can head to my Rumble, which is ZEEE Media, all one word. And we've got that investigative report coming out about AI and the way that it manipulates people. And I think that it's something people should be aware of when they're getting their news from online, because a lot of creators are using it, a lot of creators with good intention and a lot of creators with not good intention. There are a lot of anonymous accounts on X. I'm all for online anonymity, but some of them have some very unusual behavior, you know, tweeting an impossible amount every single day. So it makes me question the authenticity of those accounts, and people just really need to be wise to these things. So thank you so much, Ginger, for Kayla, sorry, for that call. We'll go to Tax Slave in Pennsylvania. Tax Slave, you're on the air.
Hi, Maria. I want to say that I started following you back in the dark days of COVID. And you were an inspiration, and I want to thank you very much. And I'm so sorry
for what
has happened in your country. Yeah. One of the concerns that I have, and I've had for a long time, is that Donald Trump, though I believe he is of good intent and pure of heart, I'm concerned that he may be a Judas goat that's going to unfortunately lead us into a tyranny in this country, meaning, you know, the horrible assassination of Charlie Kirk, I feel very angry. I know very, you know, many other people are very angry about this. However, if we go down the dark path of going after our enemies, I'm afraid that it's going to turn on us in the future. And I just want to say
that's precisely my warning, Tech Slave. Yes, go on. Sorry.
No. I want to thank you for your inspiration. I want to thank InfoWars for their work. And I just have great concern of the future of this country that we're going to end up, you know, I honestly feel like we're being herded into a cattle chute that's going to lead to a civil war. I know Alex Jones has talked about the John Podesta, you know, plan of creating a civil war. That's where we're heading, and I'm so sorry But I think, you know, all InfoWars need to be armed and be defensive, not offensive, and be you know, concerned. And, you know, especially, you know, that, you know, a week ago, you know, for gosh sakes, that beautiful girl that was, you know, slaughtered in the train. That
Irina,
just
yes.
Tells us we have to be aware of our surroundings. We have to be aware of what's going on and be defensive, not offensive.
Absolutely agree with
you.
Thank you so much for your call, and thank you for your support of, you know, our work and InfoWars as well. I don't want to see this country go down that path. I don't think anyone does. Perhaps those that are pulling the strings do, but we really have to, as I said, we have to let the moral people rise up and take leadership in our communities and in positions of power. That's the only real way that we're going to avoid something like that. We can't let things continue on this trajectory. So action must happen, and we need accountability and these questions answered. I do have a clip that I want to play for everyone before we wrap up, but I'll take a couple more calls. We've got Terry in Minnesota. Terry, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Marie?
Good, thank you. You're on the air. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to go for it. Let's do it. I want to assist some that last caller or a couple of callers back was talking about the time frame. I want to give you the time frame. I'm not going to give you scripture because I don't need to right now. This is an overview. Okay, the parable of the fig tree that Christ said to learn, Mark 13, Matthew 24, was for a reason. It sets up the last generation. Yeah, I know people have been saying it forever. When Israel became a country, a kingdom, a nation in 48, that's never happened before in human history. That was one of the big keys. And that parable states that before that generation is done, all scripture will be fulfilled, okay? And guess who was alive and in place in 1948? Well, that would be the World War II folks, and those people are almost gone worldwide. That's why the speed of everything, that's why you're seeing all the craziness. We're getting down to it. But I want to caution you very I know you've seen me on X, Zadok 7 is my handle, but what's going on here is the overview. Satan has set up this planet because this is Satan's world. God gave it to him. It's the second earth age. The Kenites run the planet. Those are the offspring of Cain. What I'm telling you is absolutely scriptural, but like I said, it's an overview. I know you ain't got a lot of time here. Revelation 2:9-3:9, those who claim to be Jews and are not and are of the synagogue of Satan. The same things uttered in John, it's in Matthew, it's in Genesis, it's in Ezekiel, it's in Chronicles, it's all over the Bible. God has warned us of these people, the controllers, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Carnegies, the Fords, the Zucks, the Soroses. Okay, these are demonic people, and I'm not talking just as a, what would you call it, a figure of speech. These are actual offspring of Satan, and this is what God has been telling his people. So what you got going here isn't going to happen. We're not going into nuclear war because God is not going to allow it, and Satan doesn't want it. All Satan wants to do is try and break God's will. So that's why he's coming first, 666, six seals, six vials, six Trump. Christ comes in the last one, seventh seal, seventh vial, seventh Trump. So the first supernatural entity that sets foot down here, Maria, is Satan, and he's coming as himself, playing the role of Jesus Christ. And because people will not listen to God, God is giving us Satan. And when that happens, the entire world, Revelation chapter 11, is going to go for this guy, and the people that are like us, like the elect. Are calling the kettle black. So if you want to mark this tape, I'm not going to say I'm not giving you a time frame, but we're 77 years into the fig tree generation, and we're winding it down real quick, Marie, real quick.
Well, Terry, I'm not entirely read up on the fig tree generation and exactly what you're talking about here. I'll certainly look into it. But I would encourage people. There was a broadcast that I did with Father Peter Hears where he sort of did talk about the events that are coming. And he spoke about that long before there was a strike on Iran's nuclear facilities. And it unfolded, as he said. And that video went absolutely viral, hundreds of thousands, millions of views, actually, all over social media. You can find it on the Orthodox Ethos YouTube channel. And he has some very, very amazing insights of what some of the prophecies are about our times. So thank you for your call. We'll go to Larry in Florida. Larry, you're on the air.
Thank you, Maria. Appreciate it. And I've been a long-time listener on your program, and I read Daily Pulse and Vigilant Fox. A couple of comments. We think we have just too many inconsistencies and too many unanswered questions, and the same folks that said nothing more to see here on Epstein and nothing more to see here on Butler are now telling us this is over. Move on, it's done. I'm just one of those folks that questions that, and from that standpoint, there is, if you can find it, there's a Simpson episode out there that foreshadows Charlie's assassination. They call it Charlie, and it takes place in a university in Utah. So saw it earlier today. And in terms of the airplane, there's actually another show where a fella basically uses a thing called SkyGlass, the airplane tracking system. He's probably got 500,000 viewers. He ran a show on Thursday. He tracked that plane for the last 30 days and pretty much just shared information and said, if you're the feds and you're watching this, you might want to look at this. And that show is no longer available. It got yanked off of YouTube. We watched it about 7 o'clock. It's called Monkey Works. We watched it about 7 o'clock on Thursday night and went back to send it to somebody else around 8:30, and it's gone.
Wow. I wonder if it's been uploaded anywhere else, Larry. Has it been uploaded to Rumble or BitChute?
If it has, it'll be Monkey Works, W-E-R-X, and it'll be Thursday. And he does about a 35-minute show, and he talked about the Charlie Kirk shooting for maybe 8-10 minutes, and primarily focused on what he's expert on is the aircraft. And he will also tell you, and maybe he got pulled down too, because he does share how much more equipment is being moved into the Middle East, our equipment, and also into Ukraine. And I kind of just leave you with one thought that I haven't heard anybody put it in this perspective. But if the folks in Europe, because you said it earlier, they want a 20-year war, Russia's not going to do a 20-year war with these folks. NATO, if you count our population, is a membership bumping up to close to 1,900,000+. They got $1 billion a year that they're spending, mostly our money. And frankly, Russia's whole GDP is only about $3 billion. And so if it starts to go wrong and starts to go bad, they will push Russia in a corner, and Russia will not allow themselves to be invaded. And I think they totally underestimate that, or the pretty really dark folks that a number of your callers have correctly talked about. Maybe that's where they want us. Maybe they want that kind of thing. But from my perspective, the folks that have said were including a lot of your broadcast and your writings, it's a battle between good and evil. And it's
well, Larry, let me just say I'm extremely, extremely grateful and happy when I hear callers like all of the calls that we've had today, because it shows me that people are still thinking, despite the immense amount of propaganda on social media right now, people are still thinking. So thank you for your call. I'm going to go, I think I have time for one more caller, but in the meantime, crew, can you please get ready Shadow of Ezra's last post? The Utah governor has actually said that authorities believe that Tyler Robinson acted completely alone with no one helping or assisting him. So we'll play that after the next caller. Really quick call. Jeff from PA, we have about 2 minutes. Just go for it.
Hi, Maria. Thanks for taking the call. I've been listening to all afternoon to everything that's been going on, and I have comments, but I don't have any answers. And I want to tell you that right up front. Excuse me. Pardon me. The comment that I have is, when you talk about freedom of speech, which as a citizen of this country, I believe in. I'm a MAGA, and I believe in freedom of speech. My comment is, freedom of speech is what got Charlie Kirk killed. Because the people on the left, the Marxists, the communists, whatever you want to call them, the Democrat Party, they don't care about freedom of speech. They just say whatever they want to say, and they start telling people to do the terrible things they do. So, you know, we can talk about being, you know, taking a higher ground and being the better people and so forth, and I don't disagree with that. But I don't know how you get to stop those people, whether you're talking about elected officials or you're talking about, you know, certainly praying is important, and we need to pray. We need to pray every day on our hands and knees that something happens to stop these people from doing what they're doing. But at the end of the day, unless a lightning bolt comes down and takes them all out, they're going to continue to do it. So, well,
thank you for your call, Jeff. And we're literally almost out of time, so I want to say one thing on what you said, which is that freedom of speech didn't get Charlie killed. What got Charlie killed was, well, we don't really have all of those answers yet, but what we know is that a lack of accountability for actual crimes that have been committed, like Irina's killer, who was convicted, what was it, 14 times, released after how many convictions, released back into society, when we have cities where violent criminals continue to just be treated lightly or be given low amounts of bail, when we have people that are involved in child pedophilia being allowed to flee the country on bail, not being detained here, when we have a lack of answers on very, very serious crimes like Epstein. These are the things that cause a lack of accountability, causes people to run around thinking that they can just act however they want, not the inability of the government to control their speech. Because let me tell you, when you know that consequences are coming for your actions, it doesn't matter what you say, you're not going to go out and do these things. And once I see accountability coming for violent actions, actual accountability, then it may turn things around. But I cannot agree with you, and I appreciate your call and your view, but I cannot agree with you that freedom of speech gets anyone killed. Other than a blatant incitement to violence, people need to be allowed to speak freely. Crew, if you've got that clip that Shadow of Ezra posted of the Utah governor, please play it.
Do authorities believe that Tyler Robinson acted alone?
Yeah, yes, Brett. They're very confident right now. Obviously, the investigation is ongoing. They're still following every lead. We appreciate the public who has reached out. But every piece of evidence we have so far makes it very clear that the assassin acted alone.
Okay, so what about the Discord chat? What about the apparent, instructions on where to leave the gun? What about that prior information that we were given? Nothing is really adding up here, ladies and gentlemen. And if I can end on this tweet, again, if you can bring it up, crew, picture 8. The last tweet that I showed from Candace, it's not her last tweet, but the last one that I brought up, be wary and suspicious of the people who are already telling us to stop asking questions about the Charlie Kirk assassination. And I want to echo that. And I want to say that makes absolutely no sense to me based on their previous statements that there was a Discord chat, that someone was instructing him about the gun. Where are the answers on this? We need to keep digging, demanding answers, and above all else, we need to maintain our stance on free speech. This country has the most amazing set of legal documents in existence on this planet, the American Constitution and the Bill of Rights. These are the things that must be preserved at all costs, no matter what. Barring, you know, I'm not calling for violence. I'm just saying we cannot let ourselves be manipulated into accepting an infringement on free speech, which Charlie Kirk fought his entire life for. And that's his legacy, and we have to maintain it. I'm live on Z Media on Rumble in 2 minutes. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless America. God bless Charlie Kirk.